So imagine, right, walking into your corporate finance department tomorrow morning and just, well, firing 40% of your staff.
Yeah, which sounds completely wild.
It sounds completely dystopian. And, you know, not because the company is failing or because there's some massive macroeconomic downturn, but simply because a piece of software learned how to do their jobs over the weekend.
Right, and that's not a five-eye pitch anymore.
Exactly. It's the raw, unvarnished reality of generative AI in corporate finance right now.
Yeah.
And straight up, it is entirely destroying the traditional role of the chief financial officer.
It really is. I mean, it is the absolute definition of a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
And you're right to frame it that drastically, because for way too long, the conversation around AI has just been trapped in the IT department.
Oh, 100%. It's just seen as a tech thing.
Yeah. But when you look at the executive search data, we are no longer looking at just a new tool. We're looking at a completely new mandate for the person sitting at the top of the finance function.
Spot on. And that is exactly what we are unpacking today on this deep dive. Because, you know, for the longest time, whenever I've covered a major tech shift as a business journalist, the narrative was almost exclusively about the tech itself.
Right, the specs, the processing
Yeah,
speeds.
exactly. Processing speeds, data storage, the rollout of a new user interface. It was basically a story about vendors and software licenses. But generative AI is rapidly infiltrating the most critical, sensitive functions of the enterprise.
Real core stuff.
Yeah, we're talking deep forecasting, regulatory reporting, frictionless transaction processing, and highly complex capital allocation.
Which is the lifeblood of the business.
Right. So this isn't just a software rollout. It is fundamentally a leadership crisis and a leadership opportunity for the CFO.
Well, and what's fascinating here is the historical context of that crisis, right?
Right.
If you look back over, say, the last 2 decades, CFOs have been constantly pressured by their boards to be more strategic.
Ah, the classic corporate buzzword.
The ultimate hollow buzzword. The board would say, we need you to step away from the spreadsheets and be a strategic commercial partner.
But they never actually could, right?
Exactly. Because frankly, the operational burden of simply keeping the financial wheels turning, closing the books, managing the audits, reconciling all those accounts, it made that almost impossible. The CFO was basically forced to be a steward of control.
So the person who basically guards the purse strings and makes sure no one is embezzling money.
Precisely. They were the chief accountant.
Yeah.
But now, generative AI is violently accelerating the shift away from that model.
Right.
The traditional steward of control is just no longer enough. The modern CFO must be a translator.
A translator. I really like that. That's
Yeah.
a brilliant framing, and I reckon it perfectly sets up the mission of our deep dive today.
Absolutely.
So our goal today is to explore exactly how AI is redefining finance leadership. We want to understand what organizations must actively look for when they're hiring their next senior finance executive.
Yeah, what's actually moving the needle?
Exactly. And conversely, if you are a finance professional listening to this, we're going to cover what you need to bring to the table to survive and thrive in this completely new landscape.
And we should probably establish exactly where our insights are coming from today, because we aren't just sitting here speculating.
Oh, for sure.
The entire foundation of our discussion is drawn exclusively from a highly comprehensive market analysis produced by Byron Thomas Recruitment.
Right.
They've put together this incredible detailed look specifically at the intersection of CFOs, generative AI, and the massive executive search implications of this shift.
Spot on. So whether you're a business leader who's currently looking to hire a new finance executive, or maybe you're a finance professional meticulously mapping out your own career trajectory.
We're just curious about the market.
Yeah. Or honestly, if you're simply someone who's fascinated by how artificial intelligence is rewiring corporate leadership at the highest levels, well, you're in the right place. This deep dive is going to equip you with the practical advisory knowledge you need to navigate this shift.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture, we really have to start by dissecting this transition from the operator to the translator.
Right, let's get into it.
The recruitment data presents a very compelling core argument here. Byron Thomas Recruitment argues that the standout finance leaders of today, the ones who are commanding absolute premiums in the executive search market, are those who can seamlessly translate between data, technology, risk, and business value.
Okay, Let me stop you right there, actually, because I want to push back on this premise pretty heavily.
Okay, let's hear it.
I mean, I've covered the business sector for a long time. Haven't finance teams literally always been in a state of technological upgrade?
Well, yes, that's true.
Right. Like, I remember when the massive shift was moving from physical desktop-bound Excel spreadsheets to cloud-based accounting software.
Oh, yeah, the great cloud migration.
Yeah, and then it was the big migration to massive enterprise resource planning or, you know, ERP systems like SAP or Oracle.
Right.
And every single time, the vendors told us it would change everything and require a new type of leader.
They did say that.
So here's my question. Why is generative AI fundamentally different from just rolling out a new ERP system? Like, why is this actually a leadership moment and not just another IT project?
That is exactly the skeptical question every board of directors should be asking right now.
No.
And to answer it, we really have to look at the guidance from Deloitte, which the analysts highlight in their research.
Okay, what's Deloitte saying?
Well, Deloitte issued a stark warning. They're saying CFOs and finance leaders need to develop strategies today for how generative AI will affect both their functions and their businesses tomorrow.
Right.
Not next year, today.
Okay, but again, consultants always say act now, don't they? That's how they sell consulting hours.
Fair point, fair point.
So what makes the technology itself so fundamentally different that it actually changes the leadership profile?
Okay, it basically comes down to deterministic versus probabilistic technology.
Deterministic versus probabilistic.
Okay, yeah. Think about that massive ERP system you just mentioned. An ERP system is essentially a highly sophisticated, deeply integrated digital filing cabinet.
Right.
It is deterministic. It's a system of record. You put data in, and it reliably holds, organizes, and retrieves that data based on very strict pre-programmed rules.
Okay, yeah. Like, if X happens, then record Y.
Exactly. It requires a human operator to tell it what to do, to design all the workflows, and, crucially, to actually extract the insight from the data it holds.
Okay, so if I pull a report from an ERP on, say, Q3 marketing spend, it gives me exactly what I spent, down to the cent. Because it's just recalling what humans inputted.
Yes.
It's just a perfect mirror of the past.
Exactly. It's a mirror. Generative AI, on the other hand, is probabilistic. It is a system of reasoning, not just a system of record.
A system of reasoning, okay.
Right. It changes the very way finance teams produce insight, how they test their underlying assumptions, and how they allocate capital. It doesn't just mirror the past. It attempts to synthesize the future.
Okay, I want to really dig into that mechanism because I think people hear system of reasoning and it just sounds like a slick marketing brochure.
It does sound a bit fluffy.
Yeah. So what does that actually mean on a Tuesday afternoon in a finance department?
All right, let's break it down to a really specific process. Take variance analysis, right?
Okay.
Which is explaining why the actual financial results differed from the budget. Historically, the ERP gives you the raw data. We missed our revenue target in Europe by 12%.
Right. So you have the number.
You have the number. The human financial analyst then has to spend 3 days digging through spreadsheets, calling regional sales managers, and reading market reports to figure out why. They do the reasoning.
Right. The human is the detective.
Exactly. But with generative AI integrated into the finance function, the AI acts as the detective. It doesn't just flag the 12% variance. It instantly analyzes the ERP data, cross-references it with external macroeconomic data sets, reads the email sentiment of the European sales team, scans global news for supply chain disruptions in that region.
Wait, it reads the news in the emails?
Yes. And then it drafts a 3-page management commentary explaining that the variance was likely caused by a sudden shift in currency exchange rates compounded by a localized port strike in Rotterdam.
Whoa. Okay, so it is doing the cognitive heavy lifting.
Yes.
It isn't just serving up the numbers, it's serving up the actual narrative.
Precisely. And that is why it interacts with the core intellectual property of the finance function. It is encroaching on the cognitive tasks that used to be the exclusive domain of human financial analysts.
That's huge.
Right. When you roll out an ERP system, you're changing the tools your analysts use to do their thinking. But when you roll out generative AI, you are introducing a non-human entity that actually does a form of thinking alongside them.
Okay, yeah. That makes it very clear why the operator mindset completely falls apart here.
It just doesn't work anymore.
Because an operator ensures the ERP system is functioning, right?
Yeah.
The data entry is accurate. The books close on time.
Yeah.
But a translator, A translator has to look at the reasoning output of this AI, this whole narrative about the port strike in Rotterdam, and translate that into a commercial reality for the rest of the C-suite.
Exactly.
They have to decide if the AI's reasoning is actually sound.
Yes. And this leads into a fantastic point raised by EY's Global Finance Technology Services leader, Stephen Kruger. His insights are featured really heavily in the source material we're looking at.
Okay, what does he say?
Kruger asserts that you cannot simply retool a finance function with AI. You have to entirely reimagine the role of finance professionals.
Reimagine the role. That is a massive mandate.
It's foundational.
You aren't just buying software licenses anymore. You're basically tearing down the job descriptions of everyone in your department and rebuilding them from scratch.
And this is where the executive search implications become incredibly profound.
Right, the hiring side.
When we look at the current market dynamics highlighted in the report by Byron Thomas Recruitment, we see a distinct shift in what employers are demanding.
What are they asking for?
Well, employers are no longer looking for a CFO to just manage a software implementation. They aren't looking for a senior project manager in a tailored suit. They're looking for an architect.
An architect.
A leader who can design a completely new operating model for their finance team.
So if I'm a CEO, right, I'm sitting there reading the same headlines everyone else is. I know this tech is out there. I know my competitors are looking at it. What does that new operating model actually look like? What is the CFO actually architecting?
They're architecting the vital bridge between raw technological capability and actionable commercial strategy.
Okay.
Because raw AI capability is utterly useless if it isn't pointed at the right commercial problems. The modern CFO has to understand the technology well enough to know its capabilities and its deep limitations.
Right.
Then they have to reimagine who they hire. Do they still need 50 junior ledger clerks? Or do they need 10 data scientists who understand accounting principles?
Oh, that's a huge shift in talent.
Massive. How do their teams collaborate with the AI agents? How is financial insight delivered to the broader business so that the CEO can make a better decision faster?
It really is a shift from managing the history of the company to architecting the future of the company.
That's a great way to put it.
And that actually brings us to a really fascinating tension. We've talked about the leadership mindset, but I reckon we need to talk about the raw numbers for a second.
Oh, the numbers are wild.
Because the scale of the AI opportunity here is staggering. I want to bring in some specific data that the analysts highlighted from PwC regarding AI agents in finance.
Yeah, the PwC data is the ultimate wake-up call for any finance professional who still thinks this is just an incremental upgrade.
It really is. Let's break these numbers down for the listener because they are massive.
Let's do it.
PwC cites that there is potential for up to 90% time savings in key finance processes.
90%.
90%. That means a task that used to take a human being 10 hours now takes 1 hour.
It's hard to even conceptualize.
Then they point to up to 60% of team time being redirected toward insight work. And finally, a massive 40% potential improvement in forecasting accuracy and speed.
Yeah, those aren't just marginal efficiency gains. You don't get 90% time savings by telling your staff to just type a bit faster.
No, no way.
Those are structural, foundational transformations of how work gets done.
Exactly. And just to compound that, the research also references a finding from IBM.
Right.
IBM found that on average, AI adopters attribute 40% of their finance function full-time equivalent or FTE redeployment directly to AI.
Wow.
So 40% of the human capital in these finance teams is being shifted away from their traditional tasks because the AI has completely consumed the heavy lifting.
Which brings us to the most uncomfortable but necessary question in this entire deep dive.
Oh, I know exactly where you're going with this. Let's hit it. Because here is where it gets really interesting and frankly a bit confrontational for traditional finance professionals.
It is confrontational.
If I'm a CEO and the AI is doing 90% of the routine process work, if it is drastically improving forecasting accuracy by 40% on its own,
yep.
If it is forcing you to redeploy 40% of your staff because there's just no more manual reconciliation to do,
right.
What exactly am I paying the CFO to do?
Exactly.
Like, why do I need a $400,000 a year executive? Why not just hire a tech-savvy mid-level IT manager to oversee the AI subscription and call it a day?
That is the exact tension. That's the core question an employer must ask when entering the hiring market right now.
And what's the answer?
The answer is the absolute crux of the argument presented in the recruitment analysis by Byron Thomas Recruitment. As routine work becomes heavily, undeniably automated, the premium placed on a candidate shifts entirely away from their ability to be efficient and shifts entirely toward their judgment.
The premium on judgment, let's linger on that. Because historically, finance leaders were highly valued specifically for their efficiency, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Their ability to run a tight ship, their ability to close the books in 3 days instead of seven, their ability to run a massive global reconciliation process without a single error. That was the mark of a great CFO.
It was. Mm-hmm. Efficiency used to be the ultimate competitive advantage for a finance function. But what the PwC and IBM data tells us is that efficiency is rapidly becoming commoditized.
Commoditized efficiency. That's a really great phrase. Explain that for us.
It means efficiency is now simply the baseline opportunity of generative AI. It's table stakes.
Okay.
If every single one of your competitors can buy off-the-shelf AI agents that close their books at lightning speed and process invoices flawlessly, then your ability to close your books quickly is no longer a strategic differentiator.
Right, because everyone's doing it.
Exactly. You don't get a gold star for being efficient anymore. The machine does it for you. Therefore, the true value of the CFO lies entirely in the human judgment applied to the time that the machine has saved.
So, as an employer, I'm not paying a premium for a CFO who can build a faster, more complex Excel macro.
Yeah.
I'm paying a premium for the CFO who knows what to do with the extra 60% of time my finance team suddenly has sitting on their hands.
Precisely. The research details how future-ready finance teams need leaders who can ask better questions of the AI. You have to remember, AI is an incredibly powerful reasoning engine, but it is fundamentally passive.
Right.
It's entirely dependent on the quality of the prompts, the strategic context it is given, and the curiosity of the human operating it.
It's kind of like having a team of brilliant, eager researchers who have zero initiative.
That's a perfect way to put it.
They'll just sit there until you tell them exactly what to research.
Exactly. So a mediocre CFO will ask the AI to generate a standard monthly variance analysis, you know, the exact same way they always have, just faster.
Yeah.
But a visionary CFO, a translator, will ask the AI to model the financial impact of three different geopolitical supply chain disruptions over the next 24 months, factoring in potential tariff changes.
Right. They're looking ahead.
And then, crucially, they will use their human judgment to decide which of those three scenarios the company must physically prepare for and allocate the capital to actually do it.
It's the difference between asking the machine what happened yesterday and asking what should we do about what might happen tomorrow.
Furthermore, and this is where the premium on judgment really spikes, the analysis highlights that these leaders must be able to interpret inherently imperfect data.
Okay.
Because AI is not infallible.
Let's talk about that, the hallucinations.
Yes, generative AI can hallucinate. It can draw massive, sweeping correlations that lack any causal reality. It can generate a brilliantly written, statistically plausible strategy that is fundamentally commercially flawed.
Wow. So it can sound really convincing while being totally wrong.
Oh, highly convincing. The premium is on the CFO who has the commercial battle scars, the deep industry knowledge, and the raw gut instinct to look at a flawlessly presented AI-generated forecast and say, the math is perfect, the presentation is beautiful, but the commercial reality on the ground is wrong.
That is such an important point. Let me give a hypothetical example just to ground this for you.
Sure.
Let's say the AI analyzes the tax code and global transfer pricing, right? And it suggests a highly complex offshore tax strategy. The AI says, hey, if you do this, you will save $50 million a year in tax liabilities. And the math is completely watertight.
Okay.
But the CFO knows that if they actually execute that strategy, the regulatory optics will be a nightmare. They'll face a massive public relations backlash. And the government will likely audit them for the next 10 years, costing way more than $50 million in legal fees and lost brand trust.
Exactly.
The AI doesn't understand the nuance of public relations or the aggressiveness of a specific human auditor. The AI just sees the math.
That is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Because the AI doesn't carry the fiduciary duty.
Right.
It doesn't go to jail if the regulatory environment shifts. The human being does.
Yeah.
The CFO has to be able to guide the broader business through that ambiguity.
Yeah.
Because AI might give you brilliant probability models, but it absolutely does not make the final hard choice.
It's just a tool.
The CFO has to take that probability model, sit in the boardroom across from the CEO, and advise on a multi-million dollar decision.
Which is exactly why the analysis stresses that leaders must be able to actively challenge AI outputs rather than blindly accepting them.
They have to.
If you are listening to this right now and you are a CFO, ask yourself what you would do in that boardroom. Would you have the courage to look at a flawlessly computed AI forecast and tell the CEO the machine is wrong?
It takes a lot of guts.
It does, because if a company hires a CFO who is so enamored with the technology that they treat the AI's output as an unquestionable gospel truth, they are introducing massive systemic risk into their organization.
The judgment to look the machine in the eye and say no is perhaps the most valuable skill in the modern finance function.
Okay, so this all sounds incredibly compelling in theory, right?
Sure.
We want translators. We want judgment. We want leaders who can tell the machine no. But let's get ruthlessly practical for a moment.
Let's do it.
It is one thing to sit here on a deep dive and talk philosophically about these traits. It is an entirely different thing to sit across a polished boardroom table from a candidate in a real interview setting and figure out if they actually have them.
Oh, completely.
Because I feel like AI has become such a decorative, almost meaningless term on resumes lately. Like, everyone on LinkedIn is suddenly an AI enthusiast or an AI-driven commercial leader.
It's the ultimate corporate buzzword right now. Uh-huh. Everyone claims to be an expert. And the recruitment data from Byron Thomas Recruitment specifically warns against letting AI become just a hollow buzzword on a job description or a resume. Yeah. They emphasize that if an employer is looking for a CFO, a finance director, or any senior commercial finance leader, the concept of AI must actively, aggressively sharpen the interview process.
It can't just be a bullet point.
No, you cannot just sit there as a decorative bullet point.
So how do we actually move beyond the buzzword? How do employers test for this elusive judgment and translator capability without just asking, hey, are you good at AI?
Well, the analysis provides a highly specific, methodical interview framework to address exactly this. They break down several critical interview areas, and I think it's really worth our time to dissect why each of these specific areas is so vital in separating the real leaders from the tourists.
Let's do it. Let's walk through what a successful interview looks like versus a failed interview based on this framework. What is the first hurdle a candidate has to clear?
Okay, the first area employers must probe is, how has the candidate used technology to improve reporting, forecasting, or decision-making?
Okay, I mean, that seems almost too fundamental. That sounds like a standard IT interview question.
It does sound basic, yeah.
What are we actually testing for there underneath the surface?
We're testing for a track record of practical application over theoretical knowledge.
Ah, okay.
Anyone can read an article about artificial intelligence on their commute and talk eloquently about its potential to disrupt the industry. But a true finance leader has a history of actually wrestling a new, complex technology to the ground and forcing it to yield a tangible commercial result.
Right.
The employer isn't looking for someone who just signed a check for a software license.
Right. So saying, I bought Copilot for my team is not an answer.
Exactly. A strong candidate will say, we had a major pain point in our cash flow forecasting. It was taking 5 days and was only 70% accurate. I deployed a machine learning forecasting tool, restructured the data inputs, trained the team on how to use it, and within 6 months, we reduced the forecasting cycle to 1 day with 94% accuracy, which allowed us to renegotiate our short-term debt facilities and save $2 million in interest.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That roots the candidate in cold, hard commercial reality.
Okay, so they've proved they aren't just reading the hype. They can implement the tech and get an actual financial return.
Yep.
But if they just sit in their finance silo and crunch those numbers, the board is still in the dark. How does the interview test their ability to actually communicate this to the rest of the business?
That brings us to the second critical area. Can they explain AI opportunities in plain commercial language, not just technical language?
Ah, there is the test for the translator skill in action.
This is the ultimate litmus test. If a CFO candidate sits in an interview and starts trying to impress the CEO by talking about large language models, token limits, neural pathways, and vector databases, they have fundamentally failed the test.
Wait, before we go on vector databases, token limits, for anyone whose eyes just glazed over hearing that, we are basically just talking about the deep plumbing of how AI stores, processes, and recalls information, right?
Exactly. It's the engineering behind the software. And the point is, the board of directors doesn't care about the plumbing. They care about the water.
That's a great analogy.
The CEO doesn't care how the vector database works. They care about revenue, margin, and risk.
So what does a good answer sound like?
A true translator candidate will look at the CEO and say, by utilizing generative AI to augment our credit risk assessment process, we can analyze a customer's payment history globally in seconds. This means we can reduce our bad debt exposure by 15% and accelerate our new customer onboarding process by 2 full days. That directly improves our working capital cycle and boosts our top-line revenue growth.
Wow. Okay.
That is plain commercial language. If a candidate cannot distill complex tech into a P&L impact during an interview, they will never be able to do it in the boardroom when the pressure is really on.
That makes perfect sense. They have to be the bridge between the IT department's capabilities and the balance sheet's realities.
Exactly.
Okay, what is the next area employers need to probe?
The third area is crucial, and it's heavily behavioral. Have they led finance teams through process change, automation, or new system adoption?
Notice that question doesn't even explicitly mention AI. This is purely about change leadership.
Correct. Because implementing generative AI is not fundamentally a technology problem. It is a people problem.
Right.
Remember Steven Kruger's quote about having to reimagine the role of finance professionals?
Yeah, tearing down the job descriptions.
That level of reimagining is incredibly disruptive and, frankly, terrifying to a team. People fear for their livelihoods. They worry their years of training are suddenly obsolete. They resist new processes. A modern CFO must be a seasoned, empathetic, but firm change manager.
Because if you just drop a highly advanced AI tool onto a team that hasn't been culturally prepared, it will just sit there unused.
Totally.
Or worse, they will actively sabotage it to prove it doesn't work so they can just go back to their spreadsheets.
Exactly. The employer needs to hear how the candidate has previously taken a team that was comfortable with the status quo, managed their immense anxieties, upskilled them, and led them through the valley of despair to a new, more efficient way of working.
Okay, so we've tested their practical experience, their communication, and their change management. But what about that core tension we spent so much time on earlier? How do you actually assess judgment in an interview setting?
That is the fourth critical area. Can they balance efficiency gains with the need for human judgment and accountability?
Okay.
You test this by testing their leadership maturity through a scenario. You give them a trap.
A trap. I love it. Give me the scenario.
You sit across from them and say, our new AI system has analyzed all our operational data and generated a forecast that strongly suggests we should cut our marketing spend by 30% immediately to maximize our short-term EBITDA for the next quarter. The math behind the AI's recommendation is flawlessly sound based on historical conversion rates. What do you do?
Oh, that's a brilliant trap, because the tech-obsessed candidate will jump right into it.
Exactly. The candidate who lacks mature judgment will say, well, if the math is sound and the AI is trained on our data, I present the AI's findings to the board and recommend the 30% cut to boost our margins.
Right. They just defer to the machine.
Yes.
And what does the candidate with mature judgment say?
The mature candidate will pause and say, I look at the AI's findings and acknowledge the short-term mathematical optimization. But then I overlay the human commercial context.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we are entering a highly competitive market expansion phase next year. I know our biggest competitor is about to launch a massive ad campaign. Cutting our brand awareness now, even if it makes this quarter look great, will absolutely cripple our launch next year. So I take the AI's data, but I challenge its short-term optimization in favor of our long-term strategic goal. I advise against the cut.
Wow. You are testing their ability to hold the machine accountable to human strategy.
That's it.
They have to prove they won't let an algorithm accidentally destroy the company's future just to make the current spreadsheet look nice.
Precisely. And this leads directly to a crucial observation made by IBM in the source material, which really frames the entire interview process.
Yes, I wanted to bring this up. I'm looking at these interview areas we just walked through, right? Not a single one of them requires the CFO to be a software engineer. They don't need to know how to code in Python. They don't need to be able to build a neural network from scratch.
And they absolutely shouldn't be expected to. IBM explicitly states that CFOs are not expected to be technology experts.
Right.
The objective of an executive search in this space is not to hire a chief technology officer, slap a CFO title on them, and hope they understand corporate finance.
That is such a relief for traditional finance people to hear, I imagine.
It's a critical distinction that the Byron Thomas recruitment analysis strongly validates. The goal is to hire a financial leader who understands how to measure the business value created by the technology.
Okay.
You want someone who deeply understands the economics of generative AI, not necessarily the engineering of it. You need them to be AI literate, not AI engineers.
And part of that literacy, as we've discussed, is knowing the limitations.
Absolutely. The best candidates, the ones who truly command the room in a rigorous interview process, will proactively and openly acknowledge where AI can actually mislead a business.
They'll call it out.
Yes, they'll show courage and commercial discipline. They won't sit in the interview and act like AI is a magic wand that cures every financial ailment. They'll be the first to say, generative AI can drastically improve our routine transaction processing and our initial variance reporting, but I would not trust it yet to model our most complex cross-border M&A tax structuring without heavy, continuous human oversight.
Right.
That level of pragmatic realism is exactly what employers are hunting for.
Pragmatic realism, that is a perfect segue into our next major section, because we really need to spend some time talking about the reality of risk.
Yes, we do.
We have spent the first half of this deep dive talking about the incredible efficiency, the 90% time savings, the visionary leadership, the architecting of the future. But let's bring this crashing back down to earth for a minute.
Back to reality.
Exactly. I want to transition the conversation to the immense risks involved. And specifically, I want to bring in some deliberately pragmatic, almost sobering guidance from McKinsey that was featured in the recruitment analysis.
McKinsey always has a way of throwing cold water on the hype, don't they?
They really do. And I reckon it is desperately needed right now. The dynamic they highlight here is fascinating, and it speaks to the intense pressure CFOs are under.
Pressure from everywhere.
Yeah. We are living in an era of absolute unadulterated AI hype. Every single software vendor is aggressively pitching an AI-powered solution. Every department head in the company wants budget allocated for an AI pilot program just so they can put it on their resume.
Everyone wants a piece of it.
There is this massive, relentless pressure from all sides to innovate immediately. But McKinsey points out that amidst all this deafening noise, the CFO's fundamental job description actually hasn't changed.
Not at its core.
Their core mandate is still traditional capital allocation.
Hmm.
They must fund only the highest value opportunities, not just blindly chase every single project that happens to have the letters AI slapped onto the pitch deck.
If we connect this to the bigger picture of C-suite dynamics, we really start to see the incredibly heavy emotional and professional burden placed on the modern CFO.
Oh, totally.
Picture the boardroom right now. The CFO is sitting there, surrounded by peers who are feverishly excited about the potential of generative AI.
Feverish is the right word.
The chief marketing officer wants millions of dollars for an AI content creation engine. The chief operating officer wants a massive budget for an AI supply chain optimization tool. The CEO just read an article on a flight about how AI is revolutionizing their specific industry, and they are terrified of falling behind the competition.
Right.
There is an immense, palpable amount of FOMO, fear of missing out, infecting the boardroom.
And the CFO is sitting there as the lone executive tasked with turning all of that feverish boardroom FOMO into disciplined, rational, cold-blooded investment decisions.
The only one.
They have to be the one to look the CEO in the eye and say, yes, this is incredibly cool technology, but what is the actual return on investment? How long is the payback period? What is the execution risk? Are we buying this because it solves a commercial problem, or are we buying it because we want to sound innovative on our next earnings call?
It's an incredibly difficult, often unpopular position to be in.
Yeah, they're the bad cop.
Because if the CFO says no too often, they are branded by their peers as a dinosaur,
yeah,
a roadblock, the person who is single-handedly holding the company back from the future.
But if they say yes.
But if they cave to the pressure and say yes to everything, they destroy the company's capital efficiency and waste millions on failed pilot programs.
It makes me think of an analogy. I always liken the CFO to the brakes on a high-performance sports car.
Oh, I like that.
Now, you don't spend thousands of dollars installing high-performance carbon ceramic brakes on a Porsche just so you can drive it slowly through a school zone.
Right, that's not the point.
That defeats the entire purpose of the car. You install massive, powerful brakes so that the CEO has the absolute confidence to drive incredibly fast, pushing the limits of the engine, knowing with absolute certainty that they have the ability to stop safely before flying off a cliff.
That is a fantastic analogy for the modern finance function. The CEO is mashing the accelerator, trying to adopt AI rapidly to gain market share. The CFO is the brakes, ensuring they don't crash the company in the process.
Right. But how does a CFO actually navigate that immense pressure in reality? Like, how do they act as those high-performance brakes, ensuring data quality, safety, and ROI, while everyone else in the C-suite is just screaming to innovate faster?
That is where the intense focus on controls, data quality, and governance becomes absolutely paramount.
Okay.
The research details four specific governance areas that a modern CFO must absolutely dominate. And let's be clear, an AI-literate visionary CFO is entirely useless to a company if they abandon strong financial controls in the name of innovation.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In fact, their mandate to protect the business is more critical now than it was in the ERP era, precisely because the technology is moving so fast and is so autonomous.
Okay, let's break down those four specific governance areas they need to dominate. What is the first one?
First, they must be absolute experts at identifying weak assumptions.
Identifying weak assumptions?
Yes. Generative AI models, no matter how advanced, are trained on historical data. If that historical data contains systemic biases, or if the underlying business model has fundamentally changed recently, the AI's assumptions will be fatally flawed. The CFO must have the intellectual rigor to interrogate the unseen assumptions built into any AI-generated forecast or model.
It's the classic garbage in, garbage out problem, but weaponized on a massive automated scale.
Exactly. Which leads directly to the second governance area, rectifying poor data.
Rectifying poor data.
This is huge. An AI strategy is only ever as good as the company's underlying data architecture. The CFO must champion data governance across the entire enterprise, ensuring that the information feeding these AI systems is clean, structured, and reliable.
Let's create a scenario here, because I reckon people underestimate how messy corporate data actually is.
Oh, it's usually a disaster.
Let's say a company wants to use an AI agent to dynamically price their products based on supply chain costs and customer demand, but their underlying ERP system is a mess. Half the supply chain costs are categorized incorrectly, and the customer demand data is delayed by 2 weeks. The AI doesn't know the data is bad, it just ingests it.
And it will confidently output terrible pricing recommendations.
Yeah.
It might price your product so low that you lose margin on every sale, or so high that you alienate your entire customer base.
Exactly.
The CFO has to be the one to say, before we spend $2 million on an AI pricing engine, we have to spend 6 months cleaning up the data in our general ledger.
It is almost like data hygiene is the new financial hygiene. If your data is dirty, your AI is dangerous.
It absolutely is. The third governance area is clarifying unclear governance.
Unclear governance.
Yes, like who actually owns the AI models? This is a massive gray area in most companies right now.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
If the marketing department deploys an AI that hallucinates a promotional offer and the company has to honor it at a massive financial loss, who is responsible? Is it the CMO? The CIO?
Yeah.
Furthermore, what are the ethical guidelines for using AI in pricing strategies or credit decisions? The CFO must ensure there are crystal clear policies, guardrails, and human accountability structures in place before the technology goes live.
That makes a lot of sense. You need a clear chain of command for when the machine inevitably makes a mistake. And what about the ROI? You mentioned earlier the CFO has to turn FOMO into disciplined investment.
That is the fourth and perhaps most traditional governance area, aggressively calling out overstated returns on investment.
Right.
Vendors will promise the absolute world with AI. They will show you polished demos that look like magic. Internal department heads, desperate for budget, will submit business cases with wildly, almost laughably optimistic ROI projections.
This will save us $1 billion tomorrow.
Exactly. The CFO must apply rigorous, unyielding commercial discipline. They must challenge those projections, demand rigorous proof of concept, force pilot programs to hit specific KPIs before scaling, and ensure that capital is only allocated to AI initiatives that have a clear, demonstrable, and trackable path to actual value creation.
And we can't ignore the regulatory and risk environment either, can we? Especially in finance, where the data is so sensitive.
No, we cannot. The source material heavily emphasizes that privacy, model risk, and data quality are now central to the finance function's mandate to protect the business.
It's table stakes.
Think about the risk vectors. If a finance team uses an unsecured, public generative AI tool to summarize a highly sensitive, unreleased earnings report, and that data leaks to the public, that is a massive regulatory breach. It's insider trading territory.
Or if an AI-driven trading algorithm or dynamic hedging model goes rogue because of a sudden unforeseen market event like a flash crash and starts executing trades based on a model error,
yep.
That isn't just a bad quarter. That is an existential threat that could bankrupt the firm in an afternoon.
Precisely. The CFO must deeply understand these brand new vectors of risk. They have to implement the technological and process controls necessary to mitigate them, but they have to do it without stifling the rapid innovation that the CEO is demanding and the business desperately needs to survive.
It really is a delicate, almost impossible high wire act. You have to be the visionary translator driving massive efficiency and architecting the future while simultaneously being the disciplined, iron-fisted enforcer protecting the very foundation of the enterprise from runaway algorithms and boardroom FOMO. It is a completely redefined role.
It is. And it requires a very rare, very specific type of leader, which is why the executive search market for elite CFOs is so incredibly tight right now.
Well, this has been an incredibly illuminating, expansive deep dive. We have covered a massive amount of ground today regarding the evolution of the CFO in the age of generative AI.
We really have.
We've gone from the conceptual shift of operator to translator, all the way down to the gritty reality of data hygiene and boardroom trap questions.
A lot to take in.
It is. So to bring this all together and summarize what we've unpacked for the listener, we have seen that while generative AI is irrevocably changing the literal mechanics of the finance function, delivering those staggering 90% time savings, redeploying 40% of the workforce, and fundamentally shifting how the daily work gets done, is absolutely not replacing the need for human leadership.
If anything, the technology is radically amplifying the need for high-quality, commercially mature human leadership.
Exactly.
The machine can do the math, but the human must provide the meaning.
Precisely. The next generation of CFOs must be AI literate. They must be able to translate seamlessly between the raw technology and the commercial reality of the P&L. They must completely reimagine their operating models and change how their kins work. But at the end of the day, they will still ultimately be judged on their timeless, fundamental abilities. The ability to allocate capital with strict discipline, the ability to protect the business from existential risk and bad data, the ability to build resilient, adaptable teams through massive change, and the ability to support better, more strategic decisions across the entire C-suite.
The tools have changed radically.
The speed has changed radically, but the ultimate objective of financial leadership remains exactly the same.
Absolutely. And before we move to our final takeaways, I want to formally close out our source crediting.
Yes, let's do that.
This comprehensive analysis, which formed the entire foundation of our discussion today, was produced by Byron Thomas Recruitment.
Right.
They are a firm that supports employers with accounting, finance, and executive search assignments across Sydney, Parramatta, and Australia. If you found these insights valuable and you want to dive even deeper into the specific executive search trends, you can read the full detailed article on their website at byronthomas.com.au.
Excellent. Now, if you are a regular listener of The Deep Dive, you know we never like to leave you without concrete, practical steps.
We need actionable advice.
Exactly. We've talked a lot of high-level theory, strategy, and organizational psychology today, but let's distill this massive topic down into actionable advice you can use tomorrow.
I will put on my advisory hat here to close this out. Based strictly on the analysis we have unpacked today, I have exactly two strict actions for employers who are currently hiring or planning to hire a senior finance leader, and exactly two strict actions for candidates who are navigating this incredibly complex market.
Okay, let's start with the employers, the boards, and the CEOs listening to this. What is employer action one?
Employer action one. Strip the term AI out of your job descriptions as a generic, decorative buzzword.
Stop doing it.
Yes. Stop asking for AI enthusiasts. Instead, use the concept of generative AI to fundamentally sharpen your interview process. Specifically, you must rigorously test a candidate's ability to explain AI opportunities in plain commercial language.
Right, the translator test.
Force them to move past the technical jargon and demonstrate exactly how a specific technology will impact the P&L and drive true business value. If they can't translate it, don't hire them.
Love it. Make the buzzword work for you in the interview room by setting a trap for the technologists. What is employer action two?
Employer action two. Assess potential finance leaders not on their unbridled enthusiasm for new technology, but on their ability to enforce rigorous governance.
Ah, the breaks.
Yes, you must actively investigate their track record of identifying weak assumptions and flawed data, and their courage in calling out overstated returns on investment in vendor-pitched technology projects. Their ability to act as the discipline breaks in the boardroom is just as crucial, if not more so, than their ability to drive innovation.
Fantastic. Now let's pivot to the candidates, the finance directors, the current CFOs, the ambitious professionals listening to this, preparing for their next big career move. What is Candidate Action 1?
Candidate Action 1. Prepare to demonstrate in your next interview exactly how you balance the incredible efficiency gains of new systems with the critical, non-negotiable need for human accountability and judgment.
Okay.
You need specific, rehearsed examples of when you relied on a system's output to move faster. But crucially, when you actively challenged a system's output based on your own commercial experience and strategic foresight.
Yeah.
Show them you know when to say no to the machine.
Showing that you know when to trust the algorithm and when to trust your hard-earned commercial gut. And Candidate Action 2.
Candidate Action 2. Shift your professional narrative immediately.
Okay.
Move away from positioning yourself merely as a strong operational leader or a traditional steward of control who just closes the books on time. Actively position yourself through your resume, your LinkedIn profile, and your interview answers as a translator.
Yeah.
You are the vital bridge who can seamlessly connect raw data and technology with rigorous risk mitigation and actionable business value.
Brilliant. Those are four incredibly powerful, highly practical takeaways drawn straight from the recruitment analysis. And as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you, the listener, with a final, slightly provocative thought to ponder on your own.
Leave them with something to think about.
We started this entire conversation by talking about how generative AI provides significantly better, faster forecasting. It gives us a much clearer, data-driven picture of what the future might look like.
Right.
But think about the logical conclusion of that capability. If AI eventually fulfills its ultimate promise of near-perfect forecasting, if it can achieve totally frictionless transaction processing, if the machine can perfectly predict the financial trajectory of the business based on millions of current variables.
Which is where it's heading.
Exactly. Does the CFO of the future stop being the person who predicts the financial future of the company and instead become the sole architect who actively shapes it?